Earlier this week, I had lunch with a person at whose wedding I officiated in this sanctuary several years ago. He is a professional musician whose music I can only describe as perhaps country, bluegrass, rock and roll. He is stationed out of Nashville. He's had several recording contracts and traveled with his band. Over the last 2 years, the band broke up and he has gone on a solo act. Well, he and his wife are expecting their first child within a matter of weeks, and we had lunch together. We were catching up with one another, and I asked him to tell me a bit about the music business and the breakup of the band and what happened. And he said that the band largely broke up because of various contracts that they had entered into when they were young and inexperienced. And then he said to me that he had been gypped out of a significant amount of money. Now, a significant amount of money is a relative term. So I said, are we talking tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands? And he said, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think we have all felt as if we have been taken advantage of, as if we have been gypped, as if we have been cheated, that someone took unfair advantage of us at one time or another. And I suspect that most of us have at one time or another taken unfair advantage of someone else. Maybe it was when you were a child and you decided to trade with your best friend a baseball card of Choo Choo Coleman for Mickey Mantle. The story in the lesson from Genesis that I shared with you a few moments ago comes on the heels of my lunch with the person whose wedding I officiated. It is a story of someone being gypped, being taken advantage of, being hoodwinked, having a switcheroo come about. You know, 3 weeks ago when I shared a message with you, we were introduced to Laban. Laban was Rebekah's brother, you may recall, and I said that he was a bit of a wheeler dealer. And if you remember the story, when Abraham's servant went to try to find a wife for his son Isaac, he found Rebekah, Laban's younger sister. And when a deal had been struck at the last minute, Laban tried to make some other arrangements, but Rebekah overruled him. And I said, Laban's going to come back in 3 weeks, and here he is. Jacob this time is looking for a spouse. He has to go back to his homeland in order to find this spouse. So he goes back to his uncle Laban, and through Laban, he meets the love of his life, a beautiful woman named Rachel, the younger sister of Leah. Leah's eyes were weak, and we don't know if that means that she squinted or if she was hard to look at, or we're not exactly sure what that means, but it was not a term of endearment in Scripture. And Rachel was just a thing of beauty. Everyone turned their head whenever she would walk into the room. And she was also strong and industrious as she was, we are told in chapter 29, her father's shepherd, not shepherdess, but shepherd, watching over the sheep. Jacob was instantly smitten and spent some time around the house, helping out with the chores and the duties that Laban's household was doing. Finally, Laban turned to his future son-in-law and said, you know, it's really not fair. I feel as if I'm taking advantage of you. How can I pay you? What would you like for me to give you for all the services that you have done? And Jacob, without missing a beat, says, I would love to have the hand of your daughter, Rachel, for she is beautiful and the love of my life. And so Laban said, work for me for 7 years and you can have Rachel. And we are told in the passage that I shared with you, Jacob willingly worked for 7 years, and to him the 7 years passed as if it were just a mere few days. So great was his love for Rachel. And then the great day came when he and Rachel were going to be married. And there was an ancient tradition that the bride was veiled so that the husband would not be able to be overwhelmed by the bride on the day of the wedding. In our own traditions nowadays, while women generally do not wear veils to hide who they are, and the veil being lifted up by their father before they join hands with their future husband, in those days, the bride was veiled until the honeymoon night. And so after the ceremony, when Jacob takes his bride to the honeymoon, the next morning he wakes up and discovers that his bride was actually Leah, not Rachel. And he says to Laban, "What have you done? What have you done to me? Why have you done this to me? Why did you pull a switch? Why did you cheat me? Why did you gyp me out of that which I worked so long and hard for?" And Laban says, "Well, you know, now just cool down, because it is not right for the younger sister to be married before the older. But if you'll work for me for 7 more years, you may have Rachel too. But fulfill your honeymoon obligations with Leah." So Jacob did spend the 7 days with Leah. And at the end of that time, he was given Rachel as his bride as he worked for 7 more years. Getting back to my friend that I had lunch with, I asked him, what did he learn? What did he do after he found that he had been cheated or gypped in the recording business? He said that he just simply learned to move on, to learn from the experiences of the past and to not quite be so gullible as he was in the past, but that he could not dwell on the past. That he had to give up his right to revenge of trying to get even. He could not avoid the people with whom he worked, because all of the producers in the music business basically do the same thing, as it is a very, very cutthroat business. And so he's gotten wiser and is making more money than he ever made before and does not think much about that which he lost in the past. Jacob decided to do what my friend did. He moved on. He gave up his right to revenge. He decided to do the best that he could in the situation that he found himself in. He was not going to cry over spilt milk or long for those days of yesterday. And Jacob became a very savvy businessman. Continually, Laban took advantage of Jacob, but Jacob kept turning the tables every time Laban took advantage of him, so that Jacob was better off than what he was before. And as time went on, there came the day when Jacob and his family, children of Rachel and Leah and their maidservants, were all going to return to their homeland to face that which Jacob had ran away from decades earlier. Jacob left Laban's employment with great wealth and great wisdom. Jesus once said to his disciples that they need to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. It's always been a very curious phrase, but what Jesus was saying to his servants, to his disciples, was that so oftentimes we bring naivete into our life together as a community of faith. And we need to be as shrewd and as industrious as doing the work of the kingdom of God as we are in building our businesses or taking care of our families. but we also need to be innocent. We do not need to play the game the way the world plays the game. We do not need to have to be powerful and to have more influence, because Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom of God, the way into the kingdom of God, is to be the servant of all. The Christian community, the disciples of Jesus who are going to take him seriously, our challenge is to outserve one another, to look after our own affairs second to those of another. Jesus said in a different place in the Gospels, whoever wishes to save their life, to save their advantage, to save their position, their power, their prestige, will find that they have actually lost it, that they will live lives of quiet desperation. But whoever is willing to risk it all, to give themselves away in serving others and thus serving God, will find a richness and newness in life that is beyond our human imagination. Jacob, next week, returns to face his brother Esau. He returns for a rendezvous with reconciliation, where he will see the face of God as he never saw it before. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.